Yes, you got it. Stephen Brody Stevens back here again, all things comedy, talking sports, talking life, talking single adult male living in the San Fernando Valley, doing what needs to be done, being a good example when you are out in public. You know, when I go to Starbucks, I clean up after myself. If I have residue on the table left over from an iced Trenta, I clean it up. If I have my straw lying around, I clean it up. I put in my chair because the Starbucks that I'm at right now, it's out of control. Today I witnessed a robbery, a guy running out of Gelson's across the street with a hot food plate. This guy was a shady character. I see him in the neighborhood. I'm going to say he is a Filipino. He is always asking for a lighter. You got a lighter? You got a light? And he's done it like over time. I've seen him come up to other people. So he looks shady. He looks like a guy who probably scalps tickets. One of these guys. He's up to something not kosher. So today I'm out on the corner and I see this guy jaywalking. He could have went through the regular crosswalk, but he went a few car lengths down, put a hoodie on, and ran across the street. And I said on my Periscope, I go, this guy just put a hoodie on and ran across the street. He's jaywalking. And then I went back to my Periscoping, and then about 5 minutes later, I see this guy sprinting towards me out of the Gelson's parking lot across the street, sprinting back, jaywalking again, like the same course, and he had like a hot plate of food. I could tell. I eat at Gelson's. I used to work at Gelson's. I know what's in that hot plate. I would get mac and beef. They have chicken. They have Indian food. If you're going to steal food, Gelson's is a pretty good place to steal food. So this guy has the plate. He's running across the street. I'm Periscoping. I'm on my camera. He's looking at me. And I'm trying to film him a little bit, but not. And that's what happened. So he ran, and I figured he stole. And what am I supposed to, I mean, whatever. Do I care? No, I don't care. But maybe 6 months ago, I saw a guy steal a tip jar. I think I've seen two tip jars being stolen at Starbucks. These kids are working. They're working their tails off at Starbucks. They're every season. They have new drinks that they have to memorize. They have names that they need to write down. You have to have good penmanship. Remember orders. I do a basic order. I get iced coffee. Maybe I'll get a venti drip. But I see the people, no shots, the pumps. How do you know about pumps? Did you work at Starbucks? Well, you know they do. Do you know the difference between 7 pumps and 5 pumps and 2 pumps? I mean, these people coming in there. I go to Starbucks. First of all, later in the day, the coffee's not as good. It's not as freshly brewed. Later in the day, they start pulling back. If you go to Starbucks at, say, once the sun goes down and you ask for a decaf, it's a pain to them. Oh, we'll give you an Americano. Why can't I get a decaf pike? Why can't I? They don't let you do that. It's just like going to Carl's Jr. or going to Jack in a Box after midnight, the shake machine is down. I think that's a scam. That's a scam. The whole shake machine is down. You're promoting the late night menus. I'm going to Wendy's. I want a Frosty. It's 2:00. You're pushing the late night. I just got done doing stand-up. I don't want to go to 7-Eleven and get another Twix ice cream bar. I want a Frosty. And sometimes I get denied on that. So, back to Starbucks. I saw the thievery. I was in Seattle, and I saw a guy at a Greek restaurant where I was eating at with Judah. I think I was there with Judah Friedlander, who has a special out on Netflix. We were there for Bumper Shoot. And this guy walks into this restaurant to the cash register, and he orders a can of beer or a can of Coke, a soda. So he gave her $5. She opened the register and turned her back, and the guy reached in and took off. And again, I'm going to say it, probably Asian Pacific guy. You know, they go under the radar. Everybody's coming after all these other people. I just witnessed an Asian guy steal. Okay? So that goes on. They're not they haven't just taken over the UC educational system. They're stealing hot food from Gelson's. So that's what's going on in the Valley. It's crazy. I don't want to get, you know, if you think about Laurel Canyon, you go through Laurel Canyon back in the, you know, the 60s when the Mamas and the Papas and all these bands, the California, Neil Young, or whoever was hanging out in that canyon. But you know who else was in that canyon? Charles Manson. Didn't they go and kill up there? And then later on, John Holmes. So you drive through that Laurel Canyon. Yeah, there's a lot of energy, and I could see why the Red Hot Chili Peppers recorded an album there in a mansion or a house, supposedly haunted. So there's weird stuff. I go through that canyon on the way to the Comedy Store, and I'm energized. See, when you're a comedian, you got to dip into the darkness. And Laurel Canyon provides that. And then you wrap around, and it just hugs it, the Comedy Store, to that Laurel Canyon area. So you go Laurel Canyon, so you take it north, opposite of the Comedy Store, back to the Valley. So what do you see? You go by Starbucks. You go by Gelson's. There's cash grabbing. There are hot food stealing. Then you go down the street, another block on the left side. What happened there? Oh, the Las Vegas shooter, guy who shot 50 people or 500, whatever people, his brother got busted for kiddie porn. So this brother at the 7-Eleven, that Four Seasons next to the 7-Eleven on Chandler, that's where he got busted for kiddie porn. So we got kiddie porn with the Las Vegas guy. Then you've got Laurel Canyon with Manson. Then you've got Starbucks, cash grab, tip jar, Gelson's hot food, Asian guy stealing. Is it over yet? It's not over. You keep going north. You go another mile. What's on the right side? Bank of America. What happened at the Bank of America? The shootout. Remember the shootout? The crazy North Hollywood shootout? Laurel Canyon. So what I'm getting at is that Laurel Canyon is, there is dangerous energy. You have to be careful to go through Laurel Canyon because there's stuff happening. So I'm a big energy believer, and I feel like the Valley, there's a lot of energy here, and people put the Valley down, but you have to realize a lot of these TV shows are based in the Valley because there's energy in this Valley that is genuine. It's real. And you know what you're getting. You go to Hollywood over the hill, it's discombobulated. You got cool, you got crazy, you got this, you got dreams, you got nightmares, you got Runyon, you've got the Comedy Store, which is good, but you got some, they even say that place is dark. What I'm getting at is the Valley, yes, the Reseda is home of a haunted house. Poltergeist was shot near here. Karate Kid, Boogie Nights. What I'm getting at is there's energy in the Valley, and you can tap into the goodness of it, or you can tap into the badness of it. You have the choice, but I'm going to say the goodness outweighs the bad. And we're in the Valley right now. We're in Burbank, and I'm Brody, and you are listening to All Things Comedy. Yes, let's do it. Light and polite. Real quick, just to talk sports, real quick. Houston Astros, world champions. They beat the Dodgers. That was upsetting. And I think LA is struggling with it. It hurt to go seven games. The final game is at your stadium. And the odds were with you to win. And it didn't happen. And I'm glad the Astros won. They did deserve it. They played better. But I think it was there for the Dodgers to take, and it didn't happen. And we'll get into that later also. And then, of course, I don't want to go on any further with this podcast without giving respect to Major League pitcher Roy Halladay. Roy Halladay, yesterday, when you hear this podcast, he died in a plane crash. And very sad day in baseball. Roy Halladay was a great pitcher. He threw a perfect game. He threw a no-hitter in the playoffs. He was a part of a world championship team. He played for the Toronto Blue Jays. He played for the Phillies. These are loyal fan bases. And he was just known as a great guy. And unfortunately, you're hearing these stories now when he's gone. And he was only 40. And it was just because he was kind of a quiet guy. He wasn't controversial. He was just a great teammate. And to hear these stories come out, because there's been tragedies before, and I don't want to put his tragedy up against somebody else's, but this one really seemed to rock the baseball world. And it kind of threw me off yesterday. It's a very sad story. So we're looking for positivity here, and that's what I bring. I bring positivity, and I don't tell people how to act, how to behave, how to think. I tell them, do you like that I get to share this fun with you, this energy? Where does it come from? A positive place. It doesn't come from an angry place. And that's what I try to show people. Now, does that equate to making money? I don't know. But it equates, I think, to lifting others up. And that's a good feeling. I go to bed at night hungry and moneyless, but I know that I've picked people up, their spirits. And at the end of the day, honestly, I have nobody to blame. It's me. If there is blame, it's up to myself to take action. And, so there are people who compare. Whenever you compare, you come up short. And you have to, like, really just focus. It's not easy. Even if you know what works, even if you've studied it, you're Stephen Hawking, you know everything about everything, but it's not always easy to do it. Some days you don't want to do it. It's like going to the gym, but that's why you take caffeine, get it going. All right, so listen, thank you for listening to me. Okay, listen, thank you for, you're asking us to listen twice, Brody? Yes, I am. So we have a guest here. I think maybe, possibly our first lady friend guest. Whoa. It's about time. That's what they were saying. They were saying it's about time. Brody, we will not launch until you bring on a lady. We will launch with a lady. And this friend has known me for 20 years. She's known me from New York. She's known me from Los Angeles. And we've reconnected recently. We've recently reconnected. And that's what friends do. They reach out at times when you least expect it, and it happens. And then things happen with that. We reached out. Today, she's on the podcast. Today, she met a friend who I brought together, and she's here today. You've seen her on comedy shows. You've seen her do characters. You've seen her on a TV show back in the day.
And Two Broke Girls recently.
You were recently on Two Broke Girls?
Guest star with Lisa Lampanelli.
She was guest star with Lisa Lampanelli on Two Broke Girls.
I was on your show.
She was on my show. And she is a talented entertainer who brings a warmth. She was there for me, giving me confidence when I needed it most. I was fresh to Los Angeles. Nadia, she was already out here. And when I came out here, really was there for me. And she looks great today. She looks the same. And I don't want to be one of those guys who says, oh, you look the same. You really do. And that's why I feel like it's a time travel for me. And I told you before the show, I said, I need to get back to basics. I need to go back and be around somebody who really knows me. We talked about this. You may not know me now.
I know you.
And I've grown, but we're going to get back in the mic. But you knew me back then, and I'm smart enough to know I need to connect with my past. Ladies and gentlemen, she's great. She lent me her vacuum when I moved out of New York. I remember you gave me a vacuum. You were living in Williamsburg,
that.
And I rolled the vacuum down the street all the way to my apartment. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for my friend. Born in Toronto, raised in Connecticut, partially, living somewhat, but more Toronto. She's lived in New York. She has lived here in Los Angeles for the last several years. Many? 17 years. You most recently saw her on Two Broke Girls. She travels the country. She is a joke writer. She is a one-person show. She knows how to put those together because she lived in New York. A lot of people say, you got to live in New York. And I know why, because I saw what she did. Jumping into the creative scene of the Lower East Side of Manhattan before we were forced out to Brooklyn in the age of social media. She was out there before, when you had to push it, press flesh, go to Surf Reality on a Sunday night from 8 to 1 in the morning, and that's what we did. And it was about the craft. It wasn't about booking. Of course we wanted to be on TV or do something, but back then we were doing it for the love, and we knew that, you know, this is part of the training also. Live life, and that's what we did.
We were very lucky, right?
We were very lucky.
That doesn't exist anymore. Remember there was that place, The Hat? It was a Mexican restaurant where they had a slushy machine, and it was making margaritas all the time, and you could get like a slushy margarita in a Pepsi like container and then go back to the Collective Unconscious mic. I didn't like to drink and perform really.
There you go.
But for fun after.
She's excited. Nice. You could tell right now she wants to get in and talking. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Here she is. Nadia Ginsberg. Yes.
Enjoy it.
Nadia Ginsberg. Successful, beautiful hair, beautiful skin. And we were in New York together. And that was Collective Unconscious. That was Wednesday nights of the Lower East Side scene.
When was Surf?
Surf Reality was Sunday nights. So that's when Sklar's, Jeff Ross, and Faceboy ran that show. And that was 7:15, 7:30, sign up, name in the bucket, 7:45, you get called out. And so what do you, yeah.
Can I just do a quick callback to something you said earlier?
Something I said.
Macaroni and beef. I'd never heard that. Mac and beef. And I thought that would be a great tagline for Gelson's. It's a great place to steal things.
Yeah.
I think you had something there. Also, I think you should pitch a show called Dreams, Nightmares, Runyon Canyon.
Ooh.
Just saying, you said it.
Laurel Canyon.
Yeah, Laurel Canyon. I think you were very right about, it's like a metaphor for life, right? And most comedians, there's like a dark side. Most comedians are like probably great dramatic actors.
Yes.
But they never, it's so interesting, they never get the respect. Like, why do you, first of all the award shows, I think it's so dumb. Like, you can't say one performance is better than another. Like, if you're a production designer or like a costume designer, it makes more sense. You can say, okay, that's tangible. It looks good.
Yeah. It's popping.
Right. But how can you say this person's performance is better than that person's? But comedians, like, everyone says comedy's so hard, it's harder than drama, but most comedians can do dramatic acting, and I feel like when you're funny, it just doesn't get the respect. But who cares? If we're comedians because we're always chasing that kind of respect and validation in a way. Not to get too deep on the sports.
Comedians,
podcast.
We're going
to
get into sports because we have sports connections, pretty similar in a way, and we're going to get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
I would say yes. Comedians have a dark side, but also a lot of times in terms of like acting, some people feel like it's a double-edged sword. Oh, he's a great comedian or she's a great comedian, but can they act? But I think when you get those comedians who can act, they nail it.
Truth.
Whereas if you're a drama guy, to get up there and do stand-up, it's rare that somebody comes from the acting world into stand-up and even originates from the acting world, possibly. It's a whole
different ball
stand-up
game.
Is like you're almost born to do it, or you get that bug to do it. It's in you.
Yes.
And I think that
love of jokes, a love of words, like if you could, you know, when you know that's your biggest joy, when you're, you know, to be sitting and saying, what's the perfect word, or, you know, you either love that or you don't.
But there's so much with stand-up. I mean, I think you jokes, persona, how you look, but at the end of the day, it's laughs. When people talk about like stand-up in terms of tangibility, you would say laughs.
But
this guy's gal is getting laughs. Not necessarily popular, selling tickets, but I think in terms of like comedy, you can kind of actually hear it. Whereas drama, you're not going to
hear it. Do you remember what you told me years ago in New York?
What did I tell you in New York?
You told me that I would be a great stand-up because I was attractive, but not so attractive that it was distracting.
There you go.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think.
I know where you were coming from. And comedians have to be antiheroes, too. That's another thing. You can't be like, it's hard if you're a really good-looking person because you have to be really vulnerable and you have to be that kind of everyman, you know?
Well, if you're a great looking guy, you better have, I mean, I think it comes
come
back
with
to
the
jokes. You got,
yeah.
Like, for example, I'll say like Jeselnik, good looking guy, chiseled Nick, I like to call him. No, but Anthony's like a good looking guy, but you know what? His jokes and his person, he's kind of got a dark persona.
Yeah.
But he's got the jokes and he's got the persona. It's strong enough where he can be a good looking guy. Whereas some guys are good looking, they're up there and, you know, you get a guy, they're up there, they're happy, they're talking about dating, they're talking about, you're off on the side and go, this guy is getting, he's decent looking, he's got pretty girls, he's got a girlfriend, and he gets to do comedy and get laughs. Where's the pain? That's what I'm kind of saying. Like,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, what I read about comedy, and that's not to say that they can't be funny and they're not
there
laughing.
There are no rules in great art.
But you would say, like, comedy, it's the ones who are, like, the troubled the most, the real dark. If you want to get in that hard-hitting, it's almost, you got to get super dark. But
you also have to have a life where that's like Kim Kardashian, right? I'm just picking someone.
Oh,
walks
my
into
gosh.
A room.
Oh, my
why
gosh.
Is Kim Kardashian not funny? Because when you just walk into a room and you just have to stand there and don't do anything, I think most comedians are not attractive because they...
Jeez.
They've, no, well, they're not always. You're very handsome.
I've done a lot of modeling in Serbia.
No, but you develop a personality. You have to be noticed. You know, and you understand irony. You understand the irony of life when you suffer. And that's the root of a lot of jokes is irony.
Well, yeah, or
having to defend.
Defend. You know, that's why there's a lot of, when you're doing comedy, it's like you're the real big guy, the real skinny guy. You've got a weird features on your face.
Long arms, short penis.
Yeah, there you go. Those kind of, we keep it clean, but, you
sorry.
Know. But again, I like to tell comedians when they people, oh, Brody, what advice? Stage time and jokes. Stage time and jokes. And these comedians.
And time, lots of time.
Well, yeah, 10,000 hours at least.
What's his name? Seinfeld was talking to Stern the other day.
What did he say?
He said that any comedian, you really don't know what you want to say till you're 35 or 40. Like that you really start to cook. And that's why it's so funny. When they're like, we want someone who's like 20 and hilarious. And it's like, well, maybe we can find someone who looks 20, but there are a few phenoms like Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Or people who were hilarious when they were 17.
Right.
But it's rare. You do have to, like, not unlike being an athlete, right? You got to practice.
And practice perfect. But yes. Also failing in comedy is good, too. You want to have bad sets. You learn from it. It tests you.
Embrace your imperfection.
Adversity. You know, are you going to quit? You keep having bad sets. You go, it's not worth it. And then I feel that, you got to do it. You just have to get up there. There's no real shortcuts. But times have changed. The internet's changed. And I think also somebody is, say, 45, you want to, a 45-year-old may want to hear a 45-year-old perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think this day and age, also, specifically today, being around before social media, if you're 40, you were around before social media, you kind of are grounded in that old school, the fundamentals of stand-up.
Work
this is
ethic.
Human nature. And now we are getting away from human nature.
Well, it's
like
the music industry, where before you'd have to, like, practice your act, like, in every bar, like, all over the country, and you get all this experience. Now, then it became that period where, no, you just look really cute in a video. That's how you got Milli Vanilli, right? Like, it's about
the
visual image.
But now they have the voice. They have the shows. They have the voice. They have the American Idol.
But they don't exactly, a lot of people who become famous haven't done the legwork, is what I'm saying. Haven't done, you know, been in the trenches doing the work, developing their act. And it is. It's very interesting how technology is affected.
Well, yeah, you have the YouTube stars. You have, I mean, if you, there's the outlet. You can do it. You can find your voice. You don't have to go through the gatekeepers necessarily. You can do your own YouTube page and find it. And I think that, it is a popularity contest in some ways, but there's a lot of real talented people out there that who wouldn't get a chance back in the day.
Truth.
That are getting it now. But stand up, like I say, it's getting all these texts.
Are they related
it's
to the
Steve
show?
Agee texted
what
me.
What kind of pronunciation is that?
You know Steve Agee?
Oh, yeah. I thought I didn't know. Okay, yeah.
So I think that we're moving more towards technology and robots. Stand-up yeah. comedy is First Amendment. It's real. You go into a room. You're not on a screen. You don't click out. You feel the temperature. You see the lights. You hear all
you
that
stuff.
You read
the room.
You're not on a YouTube screen. You're not
right.
in a computer. You're not around. You're around strangers a lot of the times. So when you're hearing that stand-up, you're hearing the real deal. First Amendment, and crowds laugh because it's funny, and they don't laugh because it's weird, and there are kind of different crowds in different times, but it's First Amendment, it's the comedy club, and that's why it's so popular now, because comedy is super popular, but it's become popular because I think there's not a, even though comedy's become more popular because of podcasting or because of technology, it's also become popular because too much of that. It's like they want to get back to just the spoken word. So what I'm getting at is,
oh, yeah.
I think that...
Can I
so,
give I'll give you a
yeah,
Playboy reference.
And real quick, who are the top comedians today? You would say like Louis C.K., Bill Burr, mm-hmm. Chris Rock, Jeff Ross. They're all over 45. They're all in
Chappelle,
that age before internet.
Yes.
So go ahead, Nadia.
I was going to say in Playboy, you know, they had all of those fake breasts. And then
and then
people started writing in saying, we want real boobs. They still have to be beautiful. So I always think I think going forward as we fight against the machines, there's going to be always that animal part of ourselves kind of rejecting it and saying, well, you know, I want to read a book that is in that where I turn the page. I don't want to look at a screen, or I don't want a robot to tell me knock, knock jokes. I want a human being who's, you know, frail and imperfect. So
yeah,
machines will completely take over, but it is interesting how that's happening right
and
now.
I'll say this, I have millennial audience members. I like doing those shows. They do laugh, they get my references, they get, but it's also based off, you know, cadence and all, but their minds are fresh.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can really get them
they also consume all kinds of stuff. When we were growing up, there were like three channels, right?
Right.
Like, and now kids all be like, people in their 20s love I Love Lucy and love, they're watching, they're actually a lot more savvy. They've actually watched and
right,
consumed
exactly.
a lot
they're
more
savvy.
Stuff.
They're savvy, you
know?
But they don't have the wisdom. I mean, there's something about time. There's something about the moon. There's something about the rotation of the earth. You can't force it.
You got very celestial there.
Well, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Because of this technology, you can jam this information. It's like freaking Clockwork Orange. You can jam the information, and we can only probably process too much, not enough. And that's why you're getting these kids, they can't handle human reaction. They can't handle a human getting mad at them. They can't handle
conversation, gray areas where it's not, I'm completely right and you're completely wrong. Like there's no, yes,
they don't have,
that's all ages. And now with the internet,
yeah, the
like
internet has made everything divisive
chamber.
And there's, we need to have a middle ground. And I would like to see people working together because, you know, we're strongest. We're all, you know,
stronger together.
You can be independent, but you're not. You need to be interdependent. We need to work together.
Macaroni and beef.
I used
Mac
to say that.
Mac and beef.
So I've known Nadia for 17 years. And
even more. That's how long I've been here.
Oh, 17
more
years.
Like
20 years.
Over 20.
I've known you for 20.
Yeah.
Now, Nadia, you were
Talk
saying the you wanted to get involved in some other stuff and try some different things. And then last year, I believe it was, you delved in, because this is a sports show.
Yeah.
You delved into the sports world.
Listen, I'll be honest. It's
okay.
hard to be an artist, and
okay.
you got to do other things to make a living sometimes. And I took a job working at Dodger Stadium and at the Staples Center, and I would sell subscriptions to the Wall Street Journal. So I'd stand there, because, you know, swag's expensive,
right.
and I'd go, you want a hoodie? You want a hoodie? You guys want a hoodie? You like a hoodie? You want a backpack? And they go, yeah. And I go, okay, $14. You get 3 months of the Wall Street Journal, and then you get the hoodie. But because they were a not such a great organization, you know, the trick was is they get people to give you their credit card number.
Right.
And then if you don't call to cancel, it just rolls over.
Right.
And a lot, you know, so my job was doubly hard because I'd have to go make the sale.
Right.
And then chase after the people and go, as soon as you get home, you got to call that number and cancel. But I got a very...
You wouldn't really like...
What? I would protect them, especially if they didn't speak English very well. There are a lot of Latin American people there who, you know, maybe didn't speak English or understand or read the fine print. And so even all colors, all kinds of people. I don't like, you know, I was going to make that commission, which was very good, but I wouldn't sleep at night if I knew they were just going to be like screwed, you know.
So it was a win-win for everybody.
Oh my God, I made so much money.
So you made money.
They
got were happy,
the swag.
And then Wall Street Journal was happy.
Yeah, because I guess as many, I'm imagining if you could say you have this many subscribers, you can get more advertisers.
Right.
That's what I'm guessing.
And then you'd also figure, yeah, a couple will forget to cancel anyway, and they'll get food somewhere.
Yeah.
You were thinking that.
Yeah, totally.
They don't. So you would, no, what did you learn like at Dodger Stadium? Would you watch the game at all? Would you get to eat the food?
Dodger Stadium, I got to watch the game. At Staples Center, we were in like the outer area, you know, where there's like
the concourse.
And you know, growing up, my mom got very into the Knicks when she was getting
New York
going,
Knicks basketball.
Yeah, when she was going through menopause, I'd come to my parents' door. How are you doing? Your mother's very upset. Why? The Knicks lost. Knicks lost, and my mom's like screaming, pass the fucking ball, like screaming.
Right.
She got very into it. But I didn't grow up in a sports home.
No.
I wasn't brought to sporting events. And so when I worked at the Dodger Stadium, not only learning all the interesting history about Chavez Ravine and how all of that land was promised to Mexican immigrants, and then they just built Dodger Stadium, I like got what sports was about, because you see like every color, every... age, every socioeconomic class, and it's completely non-intellectual, which is so great. And I understood that phrase, like, that. This is what sports is all about, because no matter who you are, if you're watching that game and you don't know how it's going to turn out, it's exciting. And also, like you said, we're in front of our screens. We don't come together as a group to have an experience. And if we do, we're like, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or blah. This is like, it doesn't matter. And it's really a beautiful thing.
The national anthem when everyone stands.
Yeah, I got emotional.
Ooh, not yet.
I did. I got emotional when I would, especially like the cross section of LA. We're the most multicultural city in the whole country.
Houston, us. Houston is, Toronto is, even though it's Canada. Canada, that's the number one in the world.
Yeah, but Toronto, it's different. I know I told you this the other day. It's like, it's very multicultural, but you still feel that kind of Bob and Doug McKenzie kind of
right.
vibe. I hate to, people get mad at me when I beat up on Canada. It's still great. They accept immigrants. They're wonderful. But it's not the melting pot that it is here.
You want to have a melting pot, like New York City. You want to have that energy. New York City has that melting pot energy.
Right.
L.A. has a melting pot energy.
Yeah.
And so you were able to see that at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
You would see the melting pot. And here, you know, you're seeing that. I just want to touch on it a little bit
about
not getting political. I talked about it before, like the anthem. It's not about the anthem necessarily. It's about singing together, being together for one. It could be God Bless America. It could be the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. It could be national anthem. It could be Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
What about Come My Lady, Come My Lady?
There you go.
What about that song?
That's a fun song. They have
it's a guilty pleasure.
Whatever it is, the fact when you, but
you're
I think
coming together.
You're thinking together. You know, people talk about how here in Hollywood about meditation, visualization.
I've been doing it.
Right.
Do you do it? Do you do the meditation, Broad? You can use my login for Oprah Chopra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
What,
they
now,
have different categories,
and
it's 20 minutes a day.
Tell me about it.
Well, like this one recently, it was like a free experience, so I started it, and it was about time. And I'm like, time? I don't really need help with that. But I listened to it, and this one was, you know, that your illusion, you touched upon this, if the idea of the future and the past and the present, they're kind of all illusions, because really the only time we have is right now. And the meditation was the time, they say, think of the best time of your life. If Brody, I asked you right now, think of like the most best time of your life. Whatever it is, you don't have to share it.
Okay.
But the what they want you to think in this meditation is the time of my life is now. The time of my life is now. Just being in this moment. And it really allows you to forgive yourself for anything you did in the past, you know, or have anxiety about the future. Because the more present we could be in the moment, mm-hmm. the more we are being our, you know, being the hero in the story.
Right.
Anyway. Shanti.
But I was going to say, like, what if I was hungry? What if I was running late? But that you have to make time to meditate. You said it takes 20 minutes.
Yeah, you eat your mac and beef after.
I'm going to block off 20 minutes. And, I mean, I like to say I meditate in the shower. I think there are a lot of people
who
meditate.
That's called masturbation.
Oh, okay. There you go. Can you watch me meditate? Would you like to watch me meditate? Are you meditating?
Will you say, om, like... near my
we keep it
penis.
Clean.
We keep it clean.
This
okay,
is a
clean.
I
okay,
can't
it's
do
clean.
Because I do baseball.
I get it.
I don't do sex talk.
All right.
I'm too big of a guy.
Yeah.
I'm too masculine.
Oh.
Where it would throw people off.
Okay.
You know, I'm more of a people. I would say almost unfortunately, I'm looked at as asexual.
Asexual?
Oh, that's just the way to go through life now. I'm just into me. I'm into me. And nobody gets hurt.
Uh-huh.
I could, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy now in Hollywood.
But you date, don't you?
I've dated. I met my sister on Bumble. And it was great. Went to Panda.
Oh, Brody, remember when I first came to L.A.? And
yeah.
This is something I've not gotten used to.
Oh,
you took
we go.
Me to Soup Plantation.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, there's a place with plantation in the name. It makes me very uncomfortable.
But,
plantation?
Salad bar is delicious. And
I haven't been there since I went there with you.
They accepted, you got 10% off with the AAA card.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Unlimited yogurt, unlimited soda.
Unlimited yogurt?
They would have. Is Soup Plantation around anymore?
I don't know. We went to the one on the Beverly Connection.
Yeah, I remember.
Was it the
Okay.
Beverly Connection?
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
They used to have Sambo's back in the day, remember?
Oh,
they got rid of that.
They have in Japan, I think they had a Sambo toothpaste. But they're very monoculture there. They're very much like Japanese only. Like, I guess in the ancient history, you'd get beheaded. You'd come to, if you're not Japanese.
They don't let.
We're being very anti-Asian.
Well, no, we're just. Well, I think
I am not.
But in Japan? I don't know how many, if they let Muslim in necessarily, or there's very few. Japan is very Japan.
Yeah.
And over in Asia, those different countries, they don't all get along. You would think, oh, it's like, it's very divided. I mean, look at North Korea and South Korea.
And I don't want to, this will be the only thing, I watched this report on how a lot of neo-Nazis, they actually
are in Japan?
Are look up to Japanese culture because of their ability to keep a clean race. And feel that they are superior. Well, they think, which is interesting. But we're not going to...
The Japanese Nazis? Is that a documentary on Netflix?
It's a porn.
So they're saying that... you're saying the nationalists. You're saying like a Nazi.
Yeah, like the people who are like...
I get that.
Yeah, they look to that as an example of racial purity, you know? Unlike America,
that.
Where, like we said, all the good energy comes from everyone else contributing and making this country the great country it can be.
Yeah, if you just have...
Come, my lady. Come, my lady. Be my sugar pie.
Who sings that song?
I forget the name
Shaggy,
of the guy.
Big Shaggy?
No, that's a black guy, Shaggy. Didn't
Come, my lady. Come,
my
lady.
Be my sugar pie.
It's called Crazy Town.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, Crazy Town.
Crazy
I know.
Town.
I lived in, he lived in my apartment building, the lead singer.
Do you want to hear a funny story?
What's
on Sunset,
name?
I got my hair done, I blown out,
yeah.
And the girl's like, I'm dating this guy, this rock star. And it was revealed it was the Crazy Town guy.
Yeah, what's his name, the lead singer? It's Spoonie D or something like that.
Wasn't he on Celebrity Rehab or something
yeah,
like on
VH1?
Yeah,
he had a drug problem, and they got kicked off Ozfest with Sharon Osbourne. She didn't like them.
Huh.
And I was living in Hollywood, actually, this is like 4 years ago. And he was staying with somebody in that apartment building. I remember I was walking out. He goes, can you like keep the door open for me so I can come in? Like, I caught him like keeping the door ajar to the parking lot. You know?
You should have made him sing the song for you.
Come, my lady. Come,
yeah.
Come, my lady. Crazy Town. Brent Mazur is the DJ who I know. He grew up with my friend. So there's a lot of connections.
In the valley.
You know where I learned connections from? Is from, like, when playing baseball. When you're in the dugout, you're just coming up with connections because you have to be into the game. And sometimes baseball is boring, and you would just look at names and numbers and play off that. And then even in the bullpen, they had the name game. So you would have to name baseball players. So you go, let's say, like, Steve Garvey. So then the next guy, you got to come up with a guy whose name starts with a G. So
Steve Harvey?
Yeah, then no. It would be, like, Gary Ward, who is a player. Now start with the W. W would be, okay, Willie Randolph. Now you got an R. Randy Johnson. It was just silly little
connection
games.
Can I ask you a baseball
games.
Question?
Sure.
To me, I always was interested in how, like, you'd have kind of heavy guys and guys who, like, smoke cigarettes.
In baseball,
they're
yes.
not as – what is the game – it's probably one of the only games where you have significant amount of downtime. Like, you're hanging – there's, like, the time when you go to bat and run, and the rest of the time – that's different than most sports, right?
Well,
basketball, unless you're on the bench, of course, but, like – you're all the team is playing all at the same time.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of people say that, okay, a lot of people say there's a lot of standing around in baseball. There's actually a lot of standing around in football. People say that football, there's actually very little action of those 60 minutes, whereas baseball, if you added up all the action, once the pitcher starts throwing to the end of the play, you add it up, there's actually more action in baseball. Yes, there's a lot of standing around, but I also feel that pace of the game, what they've been working on is that you only have 2 minutes between innings. You have maybe 30 seconds between outs. So the pace of the game is very – they are keeping it up. But I also like to say that the game now, because these kids are so athletic, they're so fine-tuned, the technology in baseball with the training and the small, minute, fast-twitch muscles. That's why these little guys, like Altuve, the guy on the Houston Astros, he's like 5'6".
What if you're like, he's 5 years old?
Well, I'm sure there's five-year-old great players these days. I'm sure there's...
In the Dominican Republic.
I guarantee you, exactly. Somebody's got a five-year-old swinging a bat right now who's going to end up being some great player.
Harper.
Why did I say Bryce Howard? Bryce Harper
showbiz.
With the Nationals. I mean, he was like a child prodigy who ended up being what he is. There's a lot of pressure on that. But these guys play baseball year round. They fine tune the muscles, the technology, and also because of that, it's like these are soccer players. Guys that would normally play soccer or maybe normally play basketball, they're going into baseball. Baseball. The players are getting stronger. There's more action. Guys are throwing the ball harder. They're hitting the ball further. And they're making more athletic plays. It's almost like arena baseball.
So you're saying, like, basketball and football is the gateway drug that leads you to baseball, usually ends with baseball? You have people go from other sports to baseball.
Well, you know what? That's a great analogy because, yeah, you can play baseball.
Till you're older.
You can play until you're older, whereas basketball definitely is you have to have the physical. I mean, you have to be tall, generally speaking. You have to be athletic. Whereas in baseball, you know what? Maybe you don't have to be maybe you're not that athletic, but you have great hand-eye coordination. You're smart. You know what the pitcher's going to throw, you know, in terms of hitting. Or if you're a pitcher, you know what? Yeah, maybe you don't throw 98 miles an hour. But you throw 88 miles an hour, but you know how to make the ball move. You know where to throw the ball. You can see how this hitter is behaving. You go, you know what, I'll throw a slow ball, a changeup, a curveball. So I think baseball, yeah, it shows that you don't have to be born with the ability to – you don't have to have a great arm.
It's part of a skill set of an athlete that would dominate in another sport. Like dominating in one sport, you could have the skill set for baseball. That's what you're kind of saying.
I just think baseball is. I mean, look, basketball. You got to be tall, and if you're not, you better be a good passer.
What about Spud Webb?
Spud Webb, small guy,
dunking
tiny.
Champion.
There
Barbara,
you go.
Right.
So, how tall was Spud Webb?
Short.
He was like 5'6", 5'7". How many 5'7" white guys can dunk? Is that racist? Maybe.
No.
But what I'm getting at, he was a great athlete. And
but
he could probably play baseball. Spud Webb would have probably been a good baseball player. I could see him being a second baseman in baseball.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
I wish I had a
girl who looked good. I would call her.
I like that.
Remember
now,
that
you're
song?
Into music. Yeah.
I love music. You love music too, don't you?
Who doesn't?
Come on, right? Dead inside, if you
know. Who doesn't love music? I love, you know, music is proven to pick up your spirits.
Yes.
There's been enough enough information out where music gets me going.
And you talk about vibrations.
Yes.
And it's really about that. Even the Kundalini yoga, which I tried recently, where you go like, and it's really not about the sound. It's about the vibration in your body that creates your changes in your brain waves. So it's real. Your positive vibrations. It's not just you're playing lip service.
No, I've read it. Positive, I've seen it because I've applied it by doing 3,000 television audience warm-ups. You have to be bringing that energy, whether it be volume, hand clapping,
I feel like you're banging
waving.
On the table is creating.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm now running the session.
Oh,
sorry.
Thank you, Nadi. So
it's creating a vibration.
Ah.
There you go.
Ironic.
Vibration. So there's truth to it. Is it easy to do? No.
That's why everyone can't do it.
They can't do it. But if you are shown the way to do it, I think that I visualize. You know, I'll be in the shower.
I know.
And I can visualize me playing baseball, feeling the baseball, throwing it to the chest, throwing a strike, feeling the seams, striking the guy out, throwing a curveball. I visualize that.
And then when do you climax? Not yet.
No, I got to keep it clean.
I'm
this
sorry.
Is clean show. This is clean.
Can I tell you clean what I think when I meditate?
Sure.
I close my eyes and I imagine I go up through the ceiling, through the roof of my house. I go up through the clouds and then I go up into the galaxy and I fly because it makes me realize how small we are and how, to me, that's God. My religion is that it's
science.
Oh, you
said God and you're in Hollywood? You don't let people hear you say that?
Well, you know what Einstein said when they said he tried to explain the movement of particles.
He lives in Pasadena. You knew that? Did you know that Einstein lived in Pasadena?
He has a great deli. No.
He did.
That should be a song.
Einstein bagels.
Einstein lives in
But he
Pasadena.
Lived in Pasadena.
Oh, he lived. Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
You
he
knew
said,
that?
I did not know
now
that.
You know. You learned stuff on this podcast that Albert Einstein lived in Pasadena. And Jackie Robinson, the great baseball player. Dodgers, you worked at Dodger Stadium. He was also Pasadena.
All life is a circle. He said that subatomic particles, they move around and they don't know why. And he said, I can't believe that God plays dice. And so for me, we can't explain things in the universe, and yet it created our planet. So to me, that's like my idea of God. And so it's also love. I think God is the love vibration you give to someone.
Yeah.
That's God.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You're mentioning God.
Yeah.
Is that something that people are okay with in your the community of your
I think when people get wrapped up about a word, they're not interesting to converse with, because if someone's going to like get all hung up on a word.
They do.
To me, it's love, and it's not some guy with a flowy beard who's telling me it's wrong when I masturbate in the shower. Call back. But
got to keep it clean.
I'm sorry.
That's why it's in the shower.
See?
There you go, Aaron.
There we
go.
Like I said, if people have an issue with using that word, they're not fun to talk to, and so I don't deal with them. But yeah, all my friends. But I do have one friend who went to Overeaters Anonymous, and he lost a bunch of weight. And then he got upset because of the word God. Like, he was like, I can't, because in AA or any of those 12 steps,
right,
they say find something that's bigger than you. And that's the way I think of nature or science, is something bigger than me. But they don't mean literally religious God. They mean an idea, you know? My mom said, and my mom is, she's doing really well, but she has ovarian cancer. And she said, you know, God, someone said, is people's, someone said, imaginary friend. God is a humankind's imaginary friend,
mm-hmm.
you know. So Yeah, you have.
I get that.
Your friends have issue with the word God or something. You're saying?
I think a lot of people do, and I'm talking about Hollywood. I'm talking about just what's out there, even to the point where they're saying thoughts and prayers. People say that they don't believe in God. There's atheism. And the other thing, coming back to sports, I like how you said about Dodger Stadium, how you saw all the different cultures. I'd be working on these shows, and these guys go, sports suck. I'm not into it. And I go, sports has 82 games, Dodger Stadium a year. People work there. It brings groups together. It's structure. It's unity. It's a part of community. That's what I like about sports,
well put.
You know. The crazy fans, you know, that kind of stuff I'm not into.
But there's crazy people everywhere.
Yeah, but certain sports bring them in. It could be, you know, they could be a little out of control.
Like
at
wilding
times.
After, you mean when people lose?
Well, no, I mean just at annoying fans at the stadium screaming and yelling or getting, yeah, being, you know, talking trash. I'm not into that. But that's a small, hopefully smaller number. But I think that, yeah, baseball. You were going to Dodger Stadium. You learned the history of Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
You saw different families, different cultures, and to the point where you said, hey, I'll go work at Staples Center.
Yeah.
You know, you did Staples also.
Yeah, the Kings. I worked at Kings games. I became, because I'm from New York and my family's like Knicks fans,
right.
I can't really be a Lakers fan.
Ooh.
Also, I think the beauty of sports is rooting for the underdog. Like, how fun was it to root for people, like, filled with three-point shooters who are just so good? Like, what's exciting about sports is when you think the guy, little guy's down and then he rises to the occasion. Like, that's the best part of sports. And with the whole Clippers scandal, I became a Clippers fan. So now I have an L.A. team that I can say I'm, like, down with the Clippers.
When you say the scandal with the Sterling being fired,
yes.
Is he getting
yeah.
rid of him?
Yeah.
That was such a long time
I was
ago.
Working. That's when I was working at Staples Center.
So why did you become a Clipper fan when that happened?
Well, because I really just like genetically can't, at being from New York, you know, my family's from New York.
Right.
I can't really like, I have to be Knicks.
Oh,
I can't
be Lakers. So you became
a Clipper
fan because you couldn't be a Laker
Correct.
Fan.
Correct.
And I think there's a lot of that out here. I think there's a lot of Clipper fans, for the most part, that are from other cities, other regions that move here.
And that's the reason you think so as
well? Oh, yeah. They adopt the Clippers because of that. And, I mean, there are some local L.A. guys that are Clipper fans, like Billy Crystal's a celebrity one, and there's Frankie Muniz, who was back in there. I'm sure there's a handful of Clipper loyal fans. But I would say a lot of those fans, they're not from L.A.
Huh.
So they come to support the Clippers. You go to a Clipper game. And this is part of my theory as to why they haven't been better or gone further. And they were really bad, say, you know, 5-10 years ago, maybe.
They got better, though.
They got better, yeah, recently. But I would say maybe 8 years ago, 10 years ago, they were bad. Clippers were known as a joke. And I think a lot of that, even today somewhat, it's hard to have a real loyal fan base. You know, there's just something about having real solid in the heart fans matter. You know, look at the Astros winning the World Series. They really tapped into the fans. The Dodgers tapped into the fans. New York Yankees, they tap into the fans. The Red Sox, they tap into the fans. You know, you see Seattle, for example, Seattle Mariners, they talk about this. They're up there, they're kind of negative, it's cloudy, they haven't won in the past. They tap into that fan base, and they don't win.
Hmm.
You've got to have, I think fans matter is what I'm getting at. And I think that Laker, you know, what do you think about that?
What?
Do you think about, what about that theory?
About fans?
Fans or this, you know.
Sure. I think it's like your tribe, right? And that's why you go see, you know, the history of sport. You know, the oldest sport that there ever was soccer. And the reason soccer started was when we were hunter-gatherers and we would follow the bison or whatever the animal was,
uh-huh.
and then we'd stop and make a camp. Then we evolved to being agrarian, where we'd plant crops. But within the men in the tribe, there still existed this desire to go out and organize, whether it was to encircle a large animal and push him into a pit or what have you. So this desire from hunting is where sports first began, and the oldest sport was soccer. And they would even trace the field to mimic the heavens with the way the earth, the sun would traverse the sky. They'd fight to the death, cut the guy's head off that lost, and then use it as a ball. So I remember being,
I was going to say that as a joke, but you're being real.
It's historically true. The Aztecs were the first, I believe, in soccer is the oldest game.
Oh, they're
game.
A good team, L.A. Aztecs. There was a team, they played at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, really? I thought you were kidding.
No,
what about the New York Jews?
With heads.
Don't you think it should be team New York Jews? They have payuses and a big nose. No?
I've heard that. No.
That was my joke. No, you did not hear that joke.
There's
from
people
someone
who
else.
Do those jokes.
All right, well.
People, because they do
things
the,
are in the ethos.
No, because people say the Washington Redskins. You know, yeah. They say that's a racist name. And they go,
right.
How would you like it? They had the New York Jews.
Right. I'd love it. But anyway, I learned that, one time when I was, can I say
go ahead.
It's legal. I have a card.
You're allowed to say
stoned.
Pot.
Okay. I was stoned and watching a Knicks game. And I just learned this about the Aztecs. And I was like, wow. So like every time they got a basket, it was like the tribe's going to eat tonight. You know, I thought that was interesting, the relation between hunting, the hunting ritual, and the birth of sports. And in answer to your question about fans, yes, because that's the tribe. We all want our tribe to win.
Well, I think what you're saying, Nadia, at the core is like that's why UFC is so popular, because it's just one-on-one, you know, man versus man or woman versus woman. There's rules, but within those rules, it's pretty... You know, it's hunter-gatherer. It's going at it. And that's why I think that is so popular.
How do you work out your twitch muscles? I just want to ask you that.
Fast twitch muscles?
Yeah. How do you do that? Does Brody do that?
I do that through tubing, surgical tubing.
Really? That sounds funny. Like
I do
tubing like you're down like
a
water.
But you know what I do?
No. What?
I do rehab exercises. So I work those fine muscles. So when you're throwing a baseball,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of small, tiny muscle fibers that you want to, work. So I work those, even whether I'm throwing or not. So I do kind of baseball training. Train like a baseball guy, even though I'm not playing baseball. So, my shoulder and my arm looks like I'm pitching.
Are you lopsided because of that?
A little bit.
You can make up for that in the shower. Nadia, clean
Nadia,
show.
We keep it clean. Now, I don't know if this is going to work. There's a game that is sweeping the nation. I like to call it the baseball card game. And Aaron's into it, our producer. I'm into it. We are really baseball aficionados. And then we can get a guest occasionally who kind of knows baseball. I don't think you're going to know these names.
I'm not going to know any of
them. I don't think
them.
You're going to know these names.
Oh, so
and,
you
me? I may only know...
I think you should test yourself because I'm not going to know any of them.
You're
do you want me to
any?
Test
Why
you?
Why don't you test me?
Yeah, that makes more sense.
And these are a lot of no-name guys, so this is going to be really
hope none of
a
them
shot.
Are offended if
it's
they're
It's
going to
be a shot in the dark.
Shot through the heart.
And maybe I'll ask, so you pick one randomly.
Any part of the deck?
Just any, cut the card, any part of the deck, shuffle them. You can take a handful.
Oops, don't look.
And pull one out, and I'll ask some questions.
Okay.
And I've gandered just by accident.
Did you run that by the goose?
There you go. And I feel that... some of these guys, a lot of no-name guys. So go ahead and randomly pick one.
I have one.
You have one. Okay. Let me, why don't you cover it? I saw the back of it. Pick a
so you know
one.
Who it is?
No, right. I don't, but I thought, I have no idea who it is, but I saw the back and that made it
And
unofficial.
You don't want to, you want to make sure
that disqualifies. You have, everything's got to be official here. I saw the back of the card and that disqualifies it.
Okay, let me see if I can read this guy's name. Okay,
so
I got
that
one.
You can't. Oh, you had to read his name. That means he could have been a Latino.
Okay, maybe not. But if you want to go down that road,
now let me ask.
Yes.
What team on the card?
What is?
Doesn't
this
it
team?
Say what team he's on?
Yeah, I can't read it. Hold on.
You need glasses?
I do.
Wait, you need your glasses, Nadia? Maybe you can pass it off to Aaron. Do you see the name? Can you read what team?
Yes, that's the Phoenix Suns.
So we're basketball.
Yes, we are.
Phoenix Suns.
Correct.
Let me ask.
Go. Go right ahead.
Is he white?
Yes.
Okay. Phoenix Suns, white guy. It's either, is it Tom Chambers?
No.
Is it Alvin Adams?
No.
Is it Steve Kerr?
No.
Is it...
How many do you get?
Jeff Hornacek.
Ding, 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 ding.
Got it. That's how you do it. And then Jeff Hornacek, Nadia?
Talk to
if
me.
If you had to guess.
Yes.
If you had to guess.
Yes.
Jeff Hornacek.
Yes.
He's a head coach of a NBA team right now. If you had to guess, what team would you say that Jeff Hornacek? Think about today what we...
I don't, you know. He's
just think. Think about what we've spoken about today.
Jazz.
That, you know what? He did play on the Jazz.
He
did? You know that?
I did not know.
Did you know that Jeff Hornacek played
I
on the Utah
know.
Jazz?
I did not.
He played on the, did he play on the Jazz, Aaron? Yes, he did. Hmm. All right.
I knew instinctually.
Okay. You knew instinctually. But yes. There's something connected to this show that you talked about in detail. Think about that.
Hunting, masturbation.
No. Think Jeff Hornacek. He's the head coach of a team.
Okay. Oh, Clippers?
Good guess.
Knicks.
You got it. There you go. These are connections.
I love it.
Nadia?
Yes.
Let's pull one more card.
Okay.
Let's do it. Pull a card out.
Okay.
Randomly. We could delve into NBA. Never know.
He's going to say the name of the team.
I mean, it's my team. The
Cardinals.
Yes, the St. Louis
oh,
Cardinals.
Oh,
so I've baseball.
Been to St. Louis. I love St. Louis.
Is he white?
Si, senor.
Yes. St. Louis. Is he a pitcher?
Yes.
Todd Worrell.
No.
This is in the 90s, I believe, probably.
I don't know. Can you ask era?
Yes.
Era.
90s era? That's what a lot of these cards are.
Early. It looks like early 90s.
Early 90s. Yeah. John Tudor.
No.
Like the mansion, Tudor?
No, that was white. I may not know.
Can I give you a hint?
Yeah. What's the...
It might give it away.
Where was he born?
I don't
know
that.
Does it say on the back?
I can tell you his name is... Okay, you don't want me to give a hint
on
the name?
Oh, name related? Okay.
Of a, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, a boxer. There's a famous boxer.
Mike Tyson?
That has a similar name.
Jerry Cooney.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a boxer that has a similar, the same name.
Same name?
Well, not front.
Last name.
Last
Tyson.
Name.
Bo, Riddick Bo, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Older
boxer.
Do, 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 do,
Rocky Marciano.
Do, do, do,
Larry
younger.
Holmes. Do, 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 Muhammad Ali. Do, do,
do, that era. Yeah. Do, do,
do, do, do, Norton. Ken Norton.
Do, do, do,
oh, this is a tough do, one. Wait, hold on. So he's a white pitcher? And he's got an athletic name of a boxer. Sounds like a boxer.
Uh-huh.
Was a boxer African-American or white?
African-American.
Holyfield.
10.
Ray Leonard. Hearns.
9. 8. 7.
Muhammad Ali.
6.
Also
five.
Shares his name.
Frazier, something Frazier.
Yes. Yes.
Steve Frazier?
No.
Frazier. Willie Frazier?
Yes. Yep.
Got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know what? That's pretty impressive that I pulled out Willie Frazier. I'll say Willie Frazier. That's an impressive thing that I got the Willie Frazier. Mm-hmm. That's a great guess, Nadia.
Are you impressed that I picked that card?
I mean,
Willie, not everyone
and he
can
spelled
do that.
It different. That was kind of cool. It was interesting how that fleshed out. It fleshed out all right.
And thank you for saying fleshed, because you know what I don't like when people say they're going to flush out an idea?
No, that's...
You don't flush out an idea. You flesh it out. You add flesh tone. You put some blood in the veins.
You flesh it out if it's no good.
If it's no good, correct. That I stand corrected.
We sit corrected. Something about the baseball, it gets me thinking. You want to do one? Let's do one more quick
let's do one.
One. We
more
have to
quick
wrap
one?
It up.
Okay.
He's a starting pitcher for the Mets.
Dwight Gooden. Sid Fernandez. Ron Darling.
More recent.
Noah Sint. No, it's not in there. More recent. Mets? Pedro Martinez. He pitched for the Mets, though.
At the end, yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to know. I get nervous with the Jeopardy thing. What's his first name, Nadia? So we go wrap
he,
up.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay, give me the hint.
Someone with my last name. There's a poet that has my
Allen
last name.
Ginsberg.
Correct.
So his
he's
first
ERG, I'm URG, like Ruth Bader.
That's the style of card, actually. That's not the player's
name. Oh, is it Allen Ginter?
No,
the card is Allen Ginter.
Yeah, that's
okay,
yeah.
So it's Noah Syndergaard.
No.
It's, hold on, stay right there. If it's not Noah Syndergaard, it's the other guy,
doesn't
Jacob DeGrom.
Doesn't even have his name on this.
Is it DeGrom?
No, it's not DeGrom, but you're getting warmer.
Oh, Matt Harvey.
Yes.
Got it.
Woo!
Well, because it was that card.
Sorry, guys.
That card was a really new card, and that, you know, that shouldn't have been in there. That card should not have been in there. I think you try to embarrass me, Nadia.
Oh, my God. No, never.
I'm never. All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up. It was great, you know, interesting. You know what I liked? The Dodger Stadium stuff. You know, I sold T-shirts for the Seattle Supersonics. And that's another thing. Comedians say, oh, I can't get stage time. Well, you know what? Go work at a sporting stadium. Go work at an arena.
Tour guide, as
you know,
did.
Tour guide. But in terms of sports, you can go sell T-shirts. You can sell, you know, the merchandise. I learned to public speak selling T-shirts for the Seattle Supersonics. I'd sell them before the game, during halftime, after the game. And you have to public speak. Hey, we got T-shirts here. You got it. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. Stage time. Learn to public speak.
Paul Newman said that once on Letterman. He's like, I'm an actor, but I've always been a salesman. He said, that's like something I do. And then, of course, he started that salad dressing and all that.
Yeah.
And he gives to charity and all of that. But sure, I agree.
So, yeah, that's what I tell comedians. Find that job where you get to talk and make it your own. So, Nadia, anything you want to promote?
Tomorrow I'm doing a show at Monty Bar with...
So you're doing a lot of shows here in L.A.? Are you going on the road also?
Yeah, I tour with my own show, but I'm writing a new show. My new full-length is called Anxious and Dangerous.
Ooh.
This show I'm doing tomorrow night is a benefit for a film called The Girl in the Box and Mo Collins.
Wait, The Girl in the Box?
Yeah.
Is that like about human trafficking?
I don't think so.
It's very, you know, very current. That's
provocative.
Evergreen.
Yeah.
That will always be. Wasn't there a movie called Boxing Helena?
Yes. I was thinking of that when I heard about it. I haven't seen the film. It's in like post-production, but it's two ladies that are making it. It's a Weinstein-free zone.
The movie Boxing Helena, was that based off a girl who worked at FedEx Kinko's? Boxing Helena? There's a joke there.
You got to flesh it out.
Flesh it out.
Don't
you
flesh
got it.
It.
So, but so after this, the movie, because this won't air for a little bit, the movie is called The Girl in the Box?
Correct. And tomorrow, Jordan Feldman's going to host?
He's Jewish.
Yep.
I mean, a name like Jordan.
Well, what about Feldman?
Oh, I didn't see that. There's a baseball player with the last name Feldman, Scott Feldman.
What
Jewish.
About Morty Feldman? Great comedic actor.
People wouldn't remember, but
I know. No, people don't know that. Mo Collins, very
she's
funny.
Great.
Curtis Cook.
He's awesome in the
Michael
kitchen.
Michael Monsieur, Cecily Knobler, and
Oh,
Suna
I know
Bilstein.
Cecily.
Yeah, I know her from New York.
Yeah,
I haven't
she's
seen her
lot,
forever.
Yeah.
But it should be fun. It's tomorrow night, which it will already pass, at the Monty Bar.
All right, the Monty Bar that's here in L.A. Nadia
yes.
Ginsberg, older friend.
Timeless friend.
Timeless friend. She was great. I love the bait. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I was surprised that I learned about the soccer. I was impressed how you talked about Dodger Stadium, how the communities were brought together. I was surprised in that you mentioned God. Also, yeah, I think there is
a little too sexual, though.
A little too sexual
like,
for me.
If I ever were a guest again, I would like ixnay on the
I could say that the pot stuff is okay. The sex stuff, I kind of like move out of that world. I'm not that guy, especially after the Charlie Sheen stuff, the Kevin Spacey stuff. I really have to watch myself. Because...
but not because you're a predator, though. You got to be clear to your fans.
Oh, yeah. But the... I just keep it clean. I keep it, you know, straight edge.
Right.
I'm that kind of guy who goes on tour with Newfound Glory and the Warped crew.
Right.
I'm in that world. So, not
even Evanescence?
Yeah, Evanescence, there you go. They're Christian based.
Yeah.
Like I said, Nadia, I was impressed because a lot of people that are in your, you know, your community, your you know, characters and flamboyancy, you wouldn't think that they would know sports or embrace it. You actually. And that's why I brought you on the podcast, because we hooked up last week, talking, hooked up at coffee.
Right.
You mentioned the Dodger Stadium, and I was like, wow, that's great. So I think it's cool. I think sports do serve a purpose. And,
it brought us all together today.
And the other thing in closing, regarding the sports, the national anthem.
Yeah.
You know, at the core, again, we've spoken in the car. We got political in the car.
We did. We had a very, very, very intense political discussion.
Politically speaking, I would say, wow, she said God. Surprising. Wow, she said that I do get emotional for anthems. Is that what you said?
I did at Dodger Stadium, seeing all these beautiful experiment we are in Los Angeles and all these different people coming together to think of America and patriotism as something that brings us together.
So, Nadia.
Talk to me.
We just had a breakthrough. Because what you're saying now is the complete opposite of what we spoke about in the car. We got heated in the car. And then what you're saying now, I almost would not say that out in public if I were you. Be careful. You are almost being too patriotic.
No. I would say that the people who don't want to say the national anthem is because they respect the idea of what America can be so much that when it is tainted by police brutality and so on and so forth. No, but that's what we're saying, that it's the idea. So I think if we all came together, we should. What can bring us together in closing?
Songs.
Is that we both have that idea of this great, beautiful thing that America can be. And I think more times, especially now as we're talking, we're agreeing more than we realize.
Thank you.
Shall we end it there?
Yeah, we are agreeing more than we realize. And thank you, Nadia.
Thank you, Brody. You're my brother. I love you.
You got it. I love you, too. Thank you. Aaron, thank you.
Thank you, Aaron, for
helping
me.
I'm getting emotional right now, and I did not plan for this. I need a Hall's mentholiptus.
Come
on. All right, we'll see you again soon. All things comedy. Stephen Brody Stevens doing a lot of things. We're growing, and now we can officially take it to another level that Nadia Ginsberg has blessed us with her positive energy and her warmth and her understanding and her embracing of sports, baseball, culture, and moving forward in this great country. Ladies and
Shabbat
gentlemen,
shalom, half
Shabbat
Jewish,
shalom,
just half.
Born Jewish, raised Gemini. Stephen Brody Stevens. Good night, folks. Yes.